When the FBI found Sage, last name of the family withheld for privacy, that's the little 14-year-old girl who was sex-napped, in Maryland, where she was victimized by a sexual predator, a judge refused to return her to her parents on the grounds that they were abusing her and not affirming her as a boy. Housed in the boys' quarters of a children's home away from her parents, she told her mother she was assaulted again. The girl soon fled, then was brutally sex trafficked again until her rescue in Texas by law enforcement. Sage's law or the child, now we know that this is now a problem because now legislators who aren't pedos are going like, okay, well, we need to do something about this. Sage's law or the Child Protection Act is being introduced this week in the Virginia House of Delegates by Delegate Dave LaRocque in honor of this young teen from Appomattox County, Virginia. Sage hopes sharing her story will help protect others from the abuse she suffered at the hands of predators, precipitated in part by the very institutions that should have protected her. School policies and state laws that encourage concealing information from parents purport to protect vulnerable minors. In practice, as tragically demonstrated by Sage's case, such policies open the door to predators by removing children's greatest protection from their lives. So in other words, the laws have been changed and the judges have now taken to them that the law now protects the groomer. This ain't happening, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? Said Bill Paxton in Aliens. Sage's law aims to shut that door in three ways. It will require schools to notify parents if their child asserts a gender different from his or her sex. It prevents school counselors from withholding or encouraging minors to withhold information about a child's gender or identity. And it clarifies that raising a child according to his or her biological sex, including decisions about a child's mental and physical health, may not be constituted as abuse. Now, there may be a small problem with that part of the law because you could read that differently, couldn't you? What if the parents are asserting that their little girl is actually a, or their little boy is actually a little girl and are sexually asserting that by sexual acts? I'm just saying, knowing what these people, these creeps called judges, are capable of these days. And then it continues. Sage's story, compiled from months of interviews, reports, and records, has been lived by countless other families torn apart in the name of gender ideology by activist schools, judges, and doctors. This is the story of the unbearable cost of parent exclusion policies, but also of a mother's love and relentless determination to save her little girl. And then the rest of the story, if I have time, I may come back to it. Read it in today's pile of prep at MikeChurch.com. The link is there. Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, live talk radio the way it should be. We also recorded talk radio the way it should be. The podcast collection is getting high. It's getting very populated now. Yesterday, I had Frank Wright and my hour-long conversation with Frank about Ukraine, Pride Book, and all the other stuff that the war in Ukraine, the founding of Pride Book, and Frank's job advice tips. That's one. Had Dr. Michael Keurig, the interview with Dr. Keurig yesterday. If you missed it, it's at crusadechannel.com in several different locations. You can't miss it. It's also on my Substack, the King Dude, that's.substack.com. I want to go back now to, and there's so much to unpack here. Let's go back now to Town Hall, where we left the Zulox sickos And again, I was telling someone yesterday, it was Frank Wright. I mean, Frank, in the state of Georgia, everyone thinks the state of Georgia is this southern, hick, hazy. I mean, Stone Mountain is in Georgia, for heaven's sake. Oasis of red state isms and red state errs, right? Current events do not support that narrative, do they? So if you missed the story on Tuesday, part two, just how big was the operation led by the LGBTQ plus couple who abused their adopted sons? Now, why do I spend so much time on these subjects? Well, number one, no one else in broadcast media will. It's rare that you find an outlet. The National Review has published some. Town Hall has published some. And the Federalist has published a significant amount of this stuff. The Epoch Times, a few times. This is what's wrong with the world. This is what's wrong in the church, among other things. If you don't talk about this and then explore why it's wrong and then offer, okay, well, maybe we can solve this or at least address it by doing this and not doing that. What have you done today?
Well, I tell you what, I yelled and screamed when I was on Twitter today and on Facebook. On my Facebook page, I yelled and screamed about Biden.
Speaking of, Biden really thinks that he is above not just the law, but all law. Biden is above God's law because he's an open apostate against his own Catholic faith. He now thinks he's above federal law. Going out yesterday saying, I'm proud of the way I handle those documents. I did nothing wrong. And this is all going to be shown. Dude, if you or I have a top secret classified document in our possession, we're going to jail, probably for the rest of our lives. You're going to be locked up, and so am I, in a federal penitentiary, and they're not going to have a hard time proving the case either. Oh, but he was the vice. Oh, that's right. You should hear him boast and brag about it. So I want to go back to Georgia because if it can happen in Georgia, then it can happen in Louisiana, it can happen in Texas, it can happen in Florida, it can happen anywhere. Let me restate that. It probably is happening. We just don't know about it. The perps haven't been caught. The children are still being raped and abused. And the atrocities continue. So this is not to get anyone angry about this, to make you aware. You know, prayer is one thing that you can do. Pray for these people to convert or revert and to stop the abominations that they're committing against children. That no one can stop you from praying rosaries. You don't need any permission, or praying in your own way, however that may be. Let's pick up where we left off with the Zulocks. Now, how were they sex trafficking their 9 and 11-year-old son? Hours before the Zulocks were arrested on July the 27th, this guy named Lawless, which is a name, Hunter Clay Lawless. Lawless was apprehended earlier in the day by Walton County detectives on a warrant for felony sexual exploitation of children after downloading child porn, kiddie porn, of the older Zulock boy per an affidavit. In other words, they have the phone and they have the photographs of the Zulock child. Remember, 9-year-olds, dude. Authorities were tipped off that Lawless uploaded and stored child sex abuse material on his Google account through an emergency cyber tip sent to the Nationwide Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force Network and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children Child Protective Organization. The affidavit says, noting that numerous other cyber tips were generated with the same Gmail address. One of the photographs, which contained metadata indicating it was created with an iPhone on December the 9th, 2021, showed a prepubescent child being forced to perform oral sodomy on an adult male, per the affidavit. The victim's age was ascertained based on physical size, stature, size relative to the male's privates, and facial features. During a Mirandized audio-video interview, Lawless admitted that he both knew the sexually abused child was approximately 10, as well as knew his legal name. At the time, the one-child pornographic photo in question was created on the mobile device, the Zulock boy was still 9 years old and would turn the age of 10 a week later on December the 15th. Law enforcement learned from Lawless that there was a secondary suspect producing homemade child sex abuse material with at least one adopted child who lived in the home with the perpetrator. Lawless allegedly met Zachary through a mutual contact named Blake on Grindr, an LGBTQ hookup app, and received numerous Snapchat messages from Zachary saying, "I'm going to blank my son tonight, and stand by for graphic visuals of the, quote, father, close quote, raping his child." According to what Lawless told the police, Zachary also invited Lawless numerous times to engage in sex acts with him and his two adopted kids. But Lawless denied having had any physical contact with the Zulock boys. While investigators first conducted a search warrant at Lawless's house, the suspect ID'd Zachary via his Facebook page. Investigators confirmed through the county school system that the child was enrolled there and obtained a home address. Deputies discovered evidence during the nighttime search and research effort at the Zulock Mansion that the adoptive fathers of the sibling pair residing in the home were engaging in sexually abusive acts and video documenting this abuse. And then there's more on this. Remember, this adoption was fast-tracked so that the sodomites pretending to be married would have faster access to their soon-to-be, quote, sons. And it all happened legally.